From Illinois Public Media, this is The 21st Show. I'm Brian Mackey. As of last summer, the state of Illinois had 1,965 sites listed on the National Register of Historic Places. And my guests today are working to add a few more. Specifically, places that are significant to the story of African Americans in southern Illinois, including a community of free black men and women, and a Civil War army encampment that housed thousands of those who escaped from enslavement during the war. This is work being led by researchers at Southern Illinois University in Carbondale, where Mark Wagner is a professor of anthropology and director of the Center for Archaeological Investigations. Also working on this is George Hunt, a doctoral candidate in history at SIU. His dissertation is focusing on African-American settlements in the region. And finally, we're joined by Don Patton, president of the Caro Historical Preservation Project. Welcome to all of you. And listeners, you can join our conversation by giving us a call at 800-222-9455. That's 800-222-9455. And Professor Mark Wagner, I'd like to begin with you and dive right into the history and ask you to start by giving us a brief overview of Fort Defiance.
Well, during the Civil War, Caro becomes, early in the war, it is where all the troops are moving into, all the supplies for the Western Army are moving in there. And as the Army gradually moves south, they overrun plantations and they are freeing African-American slaves, and the people who are living out at those plantations are being brought north to Caro, and a large camp is established in Caro called the Caro Contraband Camp or Freedmen's Camp. It's one of only a number of camps like this. There are other camps that are in the eastern United States. They've got the same purpose. And basically, they're to house people, to feed them, to educate them, to clothe them. And a lot of the people in the camp end up, the men at least, work for the Quartermaster Corps, doing all sorts of work for them. And the women would work in the hospitals. And so you have men, women, and children are all there. And as the war moves on, there is a need in northern and central Illinois for farm workers. And so the Army begins transporting people out of that camp by railroad, I think, in most cases, to central northern Illinois. And that's where a lot of the communities, African-American communities in other parts of the state, have their start, is from people that were in that contraband camp and became farm workers in central and northern Illinois.
Maybe we should put a fine point on this. What exactly does that term contraband? I think I personally was just reading Grant's memoirs over the last couple of months, and he uses that phrase a little bit, but I think it's not one that is as familiar to modern ears.
It is a phrase that was used early in the war, before the Emancipation Proclamation. People that are living on plantations are considered contraband of war, similar to like animals, cotton, tobacco, all those are contraband of war. And Lincoln, early on in the war, is very resistant to any idea of declaring these people free, because he is trying to keep Maryland, Kentucky, and Missouri in the Union. So it's a term that's used in the early part of the war until the Emancipation Proclamation comes in. After that, it gradually shifts to freedmen, because they are free now. But even to the end of the war, you see references in Army records where they're still calling these people contrabands.
George Hunt, I want to bring you into the conversation now. As I mentioned, you're doctoral work is focusing a lot on African-American settlements in southern Illinois. Can you talk about how this contraband camp or freedmen's camp fits into that broader history of African-Americans in the region?
Yes. So the contraband camp is significant for several reasons. One of them being it led to a drastic increase in Illinois' black population. So we believe right now that possibly at least 5,000 black freedmen came into Caro while it was a contraband camp. And while not all of them, many of them did permanently settle in Illinois and went on to cities like Chicago, or stayed in Cairo. So this was really one of Illinois' first periods of dramatic increase in its Black population. So that's one of the reasons why the camp is significant to the story of African Americans in Illinois.
And there, maybe you can talk a little bit also then about some of the other settlements that are there. We actually just had an email yesterday from somebody who was talking about a community called Lakeview in southern Illinois. I don't know if that's one that you're working on in particular, but there are others as well.
Yeah, there were many Black towns and communities in southern Illinois. Actually, I come from the sole remaining 19th century Black town in Illinois, Brooklyn, Illinois. So when Dr. Wagner informed me about this project, I jumped on it because it would give me a great opportunity to learn about the others, like Miller Grove. That was a Black settlement in Polk County, Illinois, which existed on the Underground Railroad. Yes, there was the community of Lakeview, but there were many others as well.
Yes, Brooklyn, America's first Black town, is the title of the book,
yes.
Would have it. Exactly. Mm-hmm. All right, Don Patton, president of the Cairo Historical Preservation Project, I'd like to bring you into the conversation now. We actually, the 21st Show team and I, we were in Cairo last year, and we went and visited the southern tip of Illinois, where the site of Fort Defiance was. Can you tell us what it looks like today? Because honestly, I don't remember seeing very much sort of like signage or interpretive, you know, markers. There's one plaque. But otherwise, what is that site now?
Well, basically, it's called Fort Defiance Park. It's at the southern tip of most Illinois. The elevation level is about 278 feet. There's a concrete construction of a boat, and it's at the confluence of the Mississippi and Ohio rivers. As you drive into the park, there is some signage that speaks to the Civil War and what took place at the southern tip. So there is some notification that, you know, the camp existed.
But what about this idea of sort of interpretation? I guess, let me ask you, what would the designation of a historic site mean for Fort Defiance?
Well, it's an opportunity to increase the awareness of the importance of Cairo. Matter of fact, I was reading, Brian, an article just the other day by Robert T. Mitchell, and it's the little town in Illinois that helped decide the war. Cairo was very important and strategically in the war. Matter of fact, the 1860 census indicated that there were 2,188 individuals that lived in Cairo. Of those 2,188 individuals, 47 were Black. And so, as George has mentioned and Professor Wagner's mentioned, Cairo becomes important for a number of reasons. Obviously, the critical waterways, you know, the Mississippi and Ohio rivers, because if you can control those waterways, you can control the flow of goods, military equipment, that sort of thing. But also, Cairo became a relocation hub for freedmen's contraband individuals, freedom seekers who were escaping slavery from the South. And so, as been mentioned previously, thousands and thousands and thousands of individuals at the time called freedmen or contraband came to Cairo, and was an opportunity for them to work, move northward through Alton, Springfield, Quincy, Chicago, and in many cases, Canada.
Let me take a moment to remind listeners, this is the 21st Show, and we are talking today about an effort to add a few sites of African-American importance to African-American history in Southern Illinois to the National Register of Historic Places. One of those is the site of Camp Defiance or Fort Defiance at the southernmost tip of Illinois. There's a state park there today, but this was a camp that housed Union soldiers, as well as thousands of freed African-American men and women coming up from the South as the Union Army moved south. We are talking about this with Don Patton, president of the Cairo Historical Preservation Project, George Hunt, a doctoral student in history at SIU Carbondale, and Mark Wagner, professor of anthropology at SIU Carbondale. And Mark, I understand one of the things that makes this site particularly interesting as a potential study in history and in anthropology and maybe even archaeology is the idea or the fact that there is a map in existence of it. Can you talk about how you came to possess this map of Fort Defiance?
Well, I do not possess that map. That map is in the public library in Cairo. And I first saw it 20 years ago. And Cairo deserves a great deal of credit for preserving that map. I have been to the National Archives in Washington, D.C. They do not have that map. They don't know of its existence. It only exists in Cairo. And what it appears to be is it appears to be a Civil War map in which the Quartermaster Corps, someone in the Quartermaster Corps, is drawing all their buildings, including the freedmen's camps, over an existing map of Cairo. And so it's just a great map to have because it pinpoints exactly where the buildings were. It pinpoints exactly where the freedmen's camp was. And there is only one copy of that map in existence, and it is in Cairo. So the people in Cairo do deserve a great deal of credit for preserving that map.
And that is a good clarification point. Yes, I don't want to make it seem like you're Indiana Jones taking the map out of Cairo or anything, but I understand there were photocopies. That was how it first came to your attention. Can you tell that story?
Well, in 2003, I was down in Cairo, and that was Lewis and Clark bicentennial. And as part of that, we were looking at records, early records relating to Cairo. And I was at the library, and they brought out this Civil War map of Cairo. And I managed to get the librarian at that time, who was, Louise Ogg was the historian for Cairo at that time. And I asked them if they could photocopy that map for me. So they photocopied sections of it. And it wasn't really what I was looking for, but I thought, boy, this is really important. And so I took all that and I've had it in a binder for 20 years. And then when this project came along, there it was. And so it's just an example of, I don't know what, saving things and until the right time comes along. When I saw it down there in Cairo, I knew it was important. I did not realize at that time that it was the only map. I didn't realize they didn't have it in the National Archives, but I just knew it was important for Cairo and to have that map.
You know, George Hunt, I think this raises an interesting point about the actual work of a historian and how it might differ from what people imagine. I mean, so many of us, you know, we might read a book of history and there's these long sections of, endnotes or bibliography at the end saying how this work was done. Can you talk about how you go about researching the existence of some of these communities that you're focusing on, especially since maybe a lot of documents weren't preserved in the 1800s when people sort of slowly drifted away from these towns and they faded into the ground?
Yeah, so I would say it really begins with reaching out to people in the community to find out oral traditions. Do they know anything about the town, how it got settled, its founders, and things like that? Because in Brooklyn, there aren't too many documents that explicitly say that, yes, Brooklyn was a part of the Underground Railroad. And that's one of the big differences between some of the Black settlements really throughout the country. And that's the difference between some of them and their Underground Railroad activity and some white abolitionists, because they were definitely more vocal about their actions. But Black abolitionists, Black settlements, they were very silent, and they didn't leave much of archival documents for us to later go back and research. So it really begins with going to the community, asking them what they know, getting into contact with historical societies, and then from there going to the books and the articles that may be available, and then going through the footnotes, and then just trying to piece together what may be there. if that makes sense. It's a long process. It can include going to the library to see the county histories. Really, you never know what you might find in a place where you didn't expect to find something like that. So,
absolutely. All right, let me remind listeners again, this is the 21st show. We're talking about an effort to add a number of historic sites in Southern Illinois to the National Register of Historic Places. These are sites that were significant to the story of African Americans in Southern Illinois. We've been talking a lot about Camp Defiance, which was, or Fort Defiance, as it's known, in a Union Army Civil War camp that also became home to up to 5,000 freed men and women who came up from the South during the war. Some of the other sites that are being looked at in this project are Miller Grove, which was a pre-Civil War community of freed enslaved people in Pope County, and there are others. We're going to continue this conversation with people working on this, including Mark Wagner, professor at SIU, George Hunt, doctoral candidate at SIU, and Don Patton with the Caro Historical Preservation Project in far southern Illinois. More to come after a short break. This is the 21st show. Stay with us. This is the 21st show. I'm Brian Mackey. We're talking about an effort to add several sites important to the story of African Americans in Southern Illinois to the National Register of Historic Places. This is work being done in part by researchers at Southern Illinois University in Carbondale, including Mark Wagner, professor of anthropology and director of the Center for Archaeological Investigations, George Hunt, a doctoral candidate in history at SIU, who is focusing his dissertation on African-American settlements in the region, and Don Patton, president of the Caro Historical Preservation Project, is also working on this. 800-222-9455 is the number to join our conversation today. 800-222-9455. Don, talk a little bit about you, I understand, have already filed some sort of documentation to get this designation. What does it mean to partner with SIU on this project?
Well, you know, as president of the Caro Historical Preservation Project, we take to heart in terms of being collaborative in our approach to the history of Caro. And so we've reached out to a number of parties, entities to preserve and protect the history of our buildings, but more importantly, the stories of the people here in Caro. And so when Southern Illinois University came upon us a few months ago, we were very delighted to engage with them in a conversation around the topic of the Freedman Camp, various buildings here in Caro. And so it's very important. I believe community engagement is very important because, number one, with respect to Southern Illinois University, obviously it is a research university, so they have many resources we do not have, and so to be able to access those resources is very important.
George Hunt, can you talk about how would you rate the recognition of Black heritage sites in Southern Illinois? Is it appropriately represented, underrepresented, in terms of, you know, designations like what we've been talking about today?
Well, I can only speak to Southern Illinois because that's where I was raised. But I like East St. Louis, I find that as a teaching assistant in the African Studies Department at SIU, that a lot of students do not know about the East St. Louis Race Massacre of 1917. And really, there are a few monuments or other commemorative markers of the East St. Louis Race Massacre. So that's one of the things I think the state can do better at, making sure that's taught. I did go to the Springfield Monument to the 1908 Race Massacre there, so that's good. But I really think that the state is missing out on the Black heritage sites in the South. So learning more about Miller Grove, about Brooklyn and other Black settlements, as well as the fact that Southern Illinois was very hostile to Blacks during the 1850s. Although Illinois was a free state, that didn't mean that it was necessarily a friendly place. So I think that history needs to be told. And also there were some people in Southern Illinois, Blacks, who were enslaved, even though Illinois was supposed to be a free state. So Southern Illinois is a very complicated history that I think needs to be told. I think we get too caught up in Illinois being the land of Lincoln, which it definitely is, but there's another side to Illinois history which needs to be told, I believe.
No, absolutely. And I mean, that persists into the 20th century with sundown towns, yes. many of which are between Carbondale and Cairo. And I suppose Cairo itself might have been considered that. We had a guest on just a few weeks ago talking about taking a bus trip up from Mississippi to Champaign and was advised not to get off the bus when she was in Cairo. And maybe Professor Mark Wagner, I can ask you about this. How do you navigate those sensitivities, right? Because I think there are a lot of Illinoisans who think of them, you know, who like to think of Lincoln and how we're, you know, we were the state that provided, both the president and the commanding general for the, you know, preserving the nation and freeing enslaved people during the Civil War. But there is also this history of racism. I wonder if you ever encounter resistance or how you navigate that in your work.
I know resistance exists, but truthfully, I have not encountered any real resistance. I've done a lot of work with the Forest Service over Miller Grove, and we've never encountered any. Miller Grove is on the Shawnee National Forest, and it is a freed slave community that was founded in the 1840s there. It's now just a series of archaeological sites in the woods, and I don't think we've ever really had any resistance there. My wife used to be the Shawnee National Forest archaeologist, and she established several outreach programs in which literally thousands of people were brought as volunteers to help excavate. And they were everything from school kids, white school kids, Black school kids, school teachers, different sorts of groups. And, you know, so there was an interest and a recognition in an interest in doing that. And I can't ever remember any negativity that came out of that. But it was like trying to expose people to that history. And it's not that it may be that the history is hidden, but a large part of it is it just is neglected and needs to be brought to public attention somehow. And the National Register, what we're doing is that's what the state of Illinois is trying to do. Is the National Park Service had a grant program this last year, and they administer the National Register. And they solicited proposals from different states as to what they wanted to tell them. If they were awarded this grant, what would they do in terms of the National Register? And our State Historic Preservation Office looked at Southern Illinois and said, Southern Illinois is underrepresented in terms of the National Register, and African-American sites are even more underrepresented within Southern Illinois. And so that was the focus of this, where this grant comes out of. They applied for that grant, they received it, they subcontracted it to us. And so what we're gonna be doing is two things. One is we are gonna be creating a master form called a multiple property form. And what that does is it will discuss the whole history of African-American settlement in Southern Illinois and the types of sites that are eligible for the National Register, such as the Cairo Contraband Camp, such as Miller Grove, such as just an ordinary farmhouse where somebody lives. And so then when somebody wants to nominate one of those properties, they don't have to go back and write 100 pages of history. It's already done. They refer back to that master document and say, which says African-American sites are eligible for the National Register. And this is the sorts of sites that are eligible. So that's what we're doing. We're doing that master property, multiple property documentation form. And then we're doing individual nominations for six sites. And all of the sites we're doing are 19th century, except for one. There is a Civilian Conservation Corps camp from the 1930s called Camp Amona. on the Shawnee National Forest, and it is a segregated camp. It is a camp solely for Black enlistees, and it is the only one like that in Illinois. And so we are going to be doing a nomination form for Camp Pomona as well. So, and again, getting back to how these things come to public knowledge is, for example, I've been aware of the contraband camp in Cairo for decades, but there was no mechanism, no way to do any research into it that I could find. And so this National Register grant provides that sort of mechanism. It enables us to research the history of the camp, go to the National Archives, find records regarding the camp, and they do have records. They have the original Quartermaster Corps ledgers from the Civil War that mention the people that are living there. And so these are all sorts of things that we didn't have the money or the ability to look at. And through this grant, we're provided a mechanism to do that. And that hopefully when all this is finished, it'll be a springboard for other projects. I'm hoping, for example, that George writes an article, which I think he intends to do, on the Cairo contraband camp and gets it published. And so that would go beyond the form, and that would help bring it up to greater public knowledge.
Don Patton, we're coming to the end of our time together. I think I want to ask you for your final thoughts here, particularly when it comes to Cairo. This is a community that had good days in the past. It also had some hard times. We've talked on the program about how people are working to sort of bring aspects of Cairo back to life. There was a grocery co-op that opened last year. There have been some housing challenges. Talk about the role, the importance of historic preservation to, you know, the past of Cairo to its future.
Yeah, earlier we were talking about a lack of awareness and exposure to history. And I think this is an excellent example that history matters, because so many people do not know their history. They do not know what has come before them. And in the case of Cairo, there's very little information out there in terms of awareness of Black Americans in Cairo and in Southern Illinois. And so with that being this month being Black History Month, I think it's an excellent opportunity to bring a focused opportunity to what Black Americans have achieved, not only in Southern Illinois, but believe it or not, in Cairo. I mean, there's so many stories that people do not know. For example, John Byrd, you know, at age 29, he was elected a police magistrate in 1873, but later he became the trustee at University of Illinois. Who knows that? Well, he was very important in that. You know, William T. Scott, who was a naval officer, came from to join the Navy, and he developed, he was the editor of the first African-American newspaper, daily newspaper. It lasted only 6 months, but it was published daily. And he became the first candidate, the first Black candidate to run for presidential office in 1904. He had to drop out due to some other matters. So moving forward to now, you know, Cairo, we're trying to change the narrative, you know, give people a different understanding what has happened, but what we envision, what is coming for the future. You mentioned the Rise Community Market. Well, for years, Cairo was a food desert. Now we have a grocery store. And we're looking at other, you know, in terms of tourism, in terms of building more homes, affordable homes in Cairo. And so I, you know, as a lifelong resident here, I see a future for Cairo. And I think, but a part of that future is understanding your history, which you can link to the future generation of our town.
Don Patton, president of the Cairo Historical Preservation Project, as well as George Hunt, working toward a PhD in history at SIU Carbondale, and Mark Wagner, director of the Center for Archaeological Investigations and professor of anthropology at SIU. Thank you all so much for being with us today on the 21st show.
Thank you.
Thank you.
Thank you.